playoff expansion. Very serious.
So Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic wrote an article last week, and she quoted a couple of big wigs.
Bob Bowlesby,
commissioner of the Big 12. Barry Alvarez, the spirit commissioner of the Big Ten. He's just kind of a universally...
Wisconsin's AD. He spent 3 years on the committee.
Just a universally respected football guy. You know, he's just one of those guys, especially up in the Midwest. So
Gordon G. was quoted in here, West Virginia's president. So we're kind of all over the map here of higher-ups.
And we're midway through the original agreement of the four-game playoff series. And they're saying right now is the time to take a look at this, because if you look at it, all of the homes, all of the venues for semifinal and all of this, after this year, or after, you know, December 29th or whatever, they will all have hosted it twice. They will all have hosted it an equal number of times, so there's not going to be anything from them, you know, saying that they got screwed.
They will have hosted a national championship after this year.
Yeah. So they think that this is just the midway point. The symmetry lines up very nicely in that regard. There are obviously a ton of factors that go into this, but at the very least, they are trying to get the ball rolling on the discussion of the expansion. And you had a former Big 12 commissioner, Chuck Ninas, he rolled out his plan and he made it known, and they posted it on here, and the gist of it is 8 teams, your 5 conference champions from the Power 5 are in, the top group of 5 champion is in, and 2 at-large spots, and he says get rid of conference championship games.
That's the part I don't like.
That's the part that ends that discussion.
Well, and for a couple of reasons. One, conferences aren't going to give that up, especially the SEC and the Big 12. Like, I know it's only been back for 2 years, but go to that game. The Texas OU game was the largest crowd in the history of a conference championship game, including the SEC.
And if you look at the SEC, they'll point to our TV ratings for our championship game this year were ridiculous.
Well, and honestly, a second reason you can't do that is in the SEC or the ACC, when you're having 14 teams in a conference and certain teams aren't playing the strength of schedule, you can't do that, because, like, for example, and this is no offense to Iowa, the year Iowa got to the Big Ten title game, what if they didn't have to play that game and based on the schedule they played, they won the Big Ten? Does that make sense to you?
No,
it doesn't. And that's why you have to have a conference title game between the top two teams. Now, what I would do is you eliminate divisions. That's what you do. And the top two teams from each conference at the end of the regular season, they play. So that what the Big 12 is doing now, that's essentially what you do. And then those are play-in games.
For once, Texas is ahead of the game. The Big 12 is ahead of the game, because... Yeah.
And don't tell me this year if Oklahoma didn't play Texas again in the Big 12 title game, I'm not sure that they get in, because they got to play the second best team in the conference. They got to play the only team that beat them this year, and they avenged that loss. And that was a huge factor, I think, in them jumping up to 4 and staying ahead of Georgia.
You know, the best thing that I've ever seen on the how you fix the competitive balance within college football, there is an article on 538. I think this is a 2-year-old article. I think I've still got it bookmarked because I liked it so much. So you do away with divisions is the gist of it, and you have 2 or 3 games in the middle of your season that you don't know who the opponent is going to be. So basically, like, you would play your first 3 games are scheduled hard. Then you're going to have a game that based on what happened in those first 3 games, you're going to play a team in your conference with the same record or with a comparable record.
That's interesting.
So as the season goes on, late in the year, you don't have Kansas playing Oklahoma unless it's already scheduled. You're going to have chances during the regular season to have basically middle of the season, like, not title games, but challenges, like, to where you say, oh, well, if Kansas State is having a really good season in the Big 12, we're going to find out really how good they are, because they're going to play 3-0 Texas, you know, in the, you know, in the fourth conference game, something like that. And as the season goes on, it's just more of a natural balance, because you don't want to see Kansas playing, you know, Texas or Oklahoma. You don't want to see the bottom feeders in the SEC getting killed by Alabama. That really doesn't do anybody any favors. This would open up the opportunity to where you have more of the best teams playing, and it kind of gets away from the stigma of if you have to go undefeated in order to make the...
Well, and it kind of clarifies who the best teams actually are, because right now we're kind of stuck in the mold of, oh, well, these clearly are the four best. And it's like, well, we don't really know that.
Why are people so against rematches? I don't really understand that. Because the teams that play, as we saw, it was a completely different game whenever you saw what happened the first time Texas and Oklahoma played. And by the end of the season, teams look completely different. And if y'all were the best teams early, and at the end, you need another game to decide who really is the better team after playing other teams.
If you're the better team, go beat them again.
Go beat them again. Yeah. So this is that is definitely a radical, and that was the most Cliff's Notes version of that idea.
That's such a sports talk radio segment.
Yeah.
Though. Like, oh, we're going to have week 7 flexed.
Yeah, you just know it's going to be
a high-profile matchup. We don't know who it's going to be between.
You know it'll be a home game for whatever team. Like, you could say that, say you had two of these flex games, one of them you're going to be at home, and one of them you're going to be on the road. And I think there's something awesome about that. And it kind of sucks that there's no chance that anything like that would ever happen, because we can't even all agree on getting to, like, 8.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We can't get very basic things done.
The gist of this is that we need clearer criteria when it comes to the playoff. And I think it's really simple what you do, in my opinion. You go to 8. Like we said, we eliminate the divisions. Those are play-in games for the Power 5 conferences. And if you want to complain and whine about the Pac-12 being down, you know what? Sorry.
Beat them then.
Yeah, it's... That, guess what? Their punishment is they're going to be the 8 seed in the playoff, and they're going to have to play the top seed. Like, you should win that game at home. You make the quarterfinal games at home, and then for the final 3 spots, I think what you do is you do 2 at-larges in the top group of 5. I mean, I just think that makes the most sense for everyone involved. You know, yeah, there's going to be years where the top group of 5 team has a loss, but so what? They can be the 8 seed. They can get killed by Alabama or whoever it is.
See, I just don't. I don't like the guaranteed spot for them.
Well, they're going to sue if you don't do it. There's going to be a lawsuit if they expand and don't include the group of 5. So I think you
but
have
under
to do
what,
that anyway.
Under what grounds? Under what basis?
Chuck Cooperstein actually tweeted this out the other day. It was a... I'd have to go back and look it up. It's some kind of... He made a good point about it. Either way, I just think that eliminates any controversy, because that's the whole thing. There's too much controversy with it right now.
You have to take the human element out. The more human element that
the
they're...
The only thing the committee should have power over is seeding and the 2 at-large teams. That's it. You have 5-6 auto bids.
I would stick with 5 if it's me, because I went back and I actually looked through the group of... the top-ranked group of 5 team over the last years before Central
UCF
Florida.
UCF would be in this year anyway. They're
UCF would be in for sure. And if you go undefeated in the Power 5...
Or make it that. If there's an undefeated group of 5 team, they get an auto bid. If not, they don't. Because I think it...
But I don't like putting stipulations. I think if you have a group of 5 team that goes undefeated and they've got some NFL players and they look like they're pretty good, then I think naturally they're just going to be one of those at-large teams. Unless there's more worthy... Power 5 teams that end up getting left out. You know, I don't want to put...
But if you're talking about the number 8 spot, that this other Power 5 team you're debating is going to have 2 or 3 losses.
Possibly. But you could also have those two losses being Georgia, you know, where they had a non-conference game against Oklahoma.
Georgia would have one of the other at-larges in this scenario. Like, this year, you would be debating between Florida and UCF.
It would be UCF.
Yeah.
But they've earned it. I feel like they've earned it this year. It wasn't that it was handed to them, and they've also
I just think in most scenarios, the undefeated team's going to have earned it.
Well, because you look at what happens with Oklahoma. There's a reason why Oklahoma's always going to get the benefit of the doubt. I think they've earned a lot of that because right now we can look at them and we can say, well, whenever they get in, they do really well because they are a really good team. Central Florida right now has built up a little bit of cachet where if there was a situation where there was six teams or eight teams this year, they would have a legitimate case because they've put together two seasons that are probably worthy of giving them a shot on top of beating Auburn last year. I don't like the automatic nature of it because there's always going to be a year where it's just not deserved. So it looks like there is positive momentum moving forward. And if you have to get to the automatic, you know, bid for the group of five team in order to make this happen, like if that's the deal breaker, then you have to do it. Yeah, which I would like, and it would kind of create a joke, I think, for that first game.
I want to point out a key note in this because the big conversation has been how do you deal with the 12-year contract that they have with ESPN. There's a quote from ESPN saying, "We have no competitive nature of the college football playoff. We have nothing to do with it." So you don't think they'd be willing to tear up that contract to get four more games?
ESPN's
absolutely
going to be fine.
Absolutely they would.
Yeah. This is a...
Don't point to the contract, the 12-year contract, as a stopping point for why they can't expand.
It's already an incredibly complex system where they have all of the bowl games and everything already, and, you know, they already... I can't imagine they make a ton of money off of the lower-tier bowl games. It's just... That's a lot of numbers that I'd just give me a headache.